This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with American Idol finalist from a few years ago, Kimberly Locke, in just a moment. But first, your friends are likely more popular than you, especially if you are outgoing. Researchers looked at social networks and found that you are more likely to be friends with someone who has more friends than with someone who has fewer friends. And since outgoing people have more friends, they are more likely to have friends that are more popular. Sitting all day at work and staying on the couch all night is a major cause of obesity in America. Studies have found that if these couch potatoes would exercise just a little bit, their life expectancy would go up. While some worry that they'll never reach recommended goals for daily and weekly exercise, experts claim that some movement is better than nothing, and even a little action will have positive health outcomes. Studies have found that those who exercise have a 20% longer life expectancy than complete couch potatoes. It is suggested that even something as small as a lunchtime stroll could help you achieve these health benefits. Using Facebook can lead to symptoms of depression. The social networking site is a good way to reconnect with friends, but that can lead to users comparing what's happening in their lives to the activities and accomplishments of their friends. And this can lead to symptoms of depression, like feelings of loneliness and isolation. The Obama daughters, Malia and Sasha, were listed among Time's 25 most influential teens of 2014. Their mother, First Lady Michelle Obama, was on Live with Kelly and Michael and said, "I don't know why. They're not influential. They just live here. They've done nothing to gain any influence." She later added, "I don't think they even realize that they're influential. I don't think anybody showed them that article, so don't mention it." The First Lady also noted that Malia is now learning how to drive and that they're both getting familiar with the concept of sarcasm. She said, "When they get a little snarky, I'm like, oh, you sound like your dad." A regular contributor here is Kimberly Locke, the former finalist from American Idol Season 2. Kimberly, welcome back to the program. Good to talk to you, as always.
Always. Good to be back.
Well, you know, as I watched The Voice and American Idol this season, first of all, I think both shows are pretty well done, and I think that they have good contestants this year. Although The Voice, frankly, has never had a winner who anybody has ever heard from again. But that being
said, isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. I don't quite understand it, but do you have any rationale for why that is?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things about what American Idol was able to do is they built a brand. And the brand is so, that brand of American Idol is so much bigger than any other, you know, anything going on the show. You know, it's, you know, American Idol, I believe, really is about the talent. And they established that early on in the show. And the judges, there was the focus wasn't really on the judges in the early days. You know, the judges were more ornamental, if you will, but it was really about the talent. And I think with The Voice, it's the complete opposite. You know, people watch The Voice because they love Adam Levine. They love, you know, Pharrell or whoever they have in at that moment. And it really is about them. And honestly, even if you don't watch American Idol, you know who's on it. And you know who has won American Idol in the past because, again, that's the brand. And I think that's just the way the two shows are designed.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. You know, it's funny that you say that because now that I'm thinking about it, I've just been watching The Voice this year. My wife has watched it for years. She loves it. But she really, she never really talks about the contestants. I'll say, well, who's in? Oh, I don't know. Because she's paying attention to the judges. Yeah.
Right. You know, because people, I think people love, you know, people get different things from different shows, you know. And I think American Idol, as far as talent, you know, that's their focus. Their focus really is on talent. But because our culture is so celebrity-oriented, you know, watching these judges, you know, and them listening to their expertise, I think people love getting that insight into, you know, these celebrities, these mega stars, you know, getting that insight into the way they think and how they perceive things. People love that.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, because Idol is down to 7 or 8 contestants. What was it like when it got down to the top 10, the top 5, and you were still in it? Was it increasing pressure each week, or did it get easier because you got used to it after a while?
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's so funny when you said top 10, top 5. I remember setting small goals for myself. So, you know, the first goal was to make it into the top 36. Then the next goal was to make it into the top 24, then the top 12. And as it got down to fewer and fewer people, you're like, okay, I've got to make it into the top 5. Like, that's that's how goal-oriented I was. And then what happens, you know, throughout the week, whether people want to admit it or not, there comes a little bit of, there is that personal rivalry that's happening between the contestants in the group, because maybe somebody got saved when they really should have gone home, or people think that the wrong person went home. So you kind of have these little personal, I don't want to say vendetta, but
rivalry for sure, these, right?
Definitely a rivalry, you know, where you want to, you definitely want to, you know, there's certain people you're like, I got to beat this person, you know, or sometimes the competition is just between you and yourself. Okay, I raised the bar for myself. Now I know when I go out there, I've got to stay above that bar. And I think that's exactly what Jennifer Lopez said to someone a couple of weeks ago. You know, when you come out on that stage, if you set a bar for yourself, that next week you better come out there and beat that bar. Because they'll definitely make you aware of that. And that's what happens as you go through and get closer to the end of the show. You realize that, okay, there's only three of us left. This just got real.
Well, the trajectory, I guess, has to be a continuous upside, because otherwise it's seen as a step back if you don't perform to the level of, say, the week before.
Absolutely. And even if you get voted off the show, if you don't win and you're in the top three, you want that last performance to be a memorable one, because that's really the last time they're going to see you when it counts.
Well, of course, you made it to number three on your season of American Idol.
Right.
Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard finished ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting. They just brought Ruben back last week for a quick visit. He brought out the envelope with the results on the show and chatted briefly with Ryan Seacrest. Because of my friendship with you, I got to meet him. And he, I believe, is the largest human I've ever met, because I don't mean it as an insult. I just mean he is a huge individual. He is tall and he's big, and I've met football players and basketball players, but he just strikes me as one of the biggest humans I've ever seen. And when they say he's a big teddy bear, that's the way he comes across.
That's exactly the way he comes across. You know, I think people, you know, on television, things on television already look bigger. You know, you look taller, you look heavier, you look whatever. But in person, you know, I think people don't understand how tall Ruben is. If you're ever in a room with Ruben and Kevin, his brother, you feel very, very small. You know, and
like bookends.
Being on the show, exactly. They are like bookends. And being on the show, you know, with Ruben, Clay, and my, you know, those two, we're all from the South, so we had this really great camaraderie, having that connection. And, you know, really, honestly and truly, at the end, you know, we really did look at each other and say, you know, if whoever wins, you deserve to win, because we all felt that we were with our equals, and we felt like not only did our careers just didn't start with American Idol, like we had been doing this prior to American Idol. So to be on the stage with, you know, two very deserving people and people who were so talented, that feels good.
But did they ever indicate to you at all how close it was between the three of you, and, you know, how you ended up at three and Ruben ended up at one?
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting, because I think on the night that I got voted off, there was like a 2% difference between all three of us. Like each one of us had a 2%. That's how close it was. And that's always interesting, too, because you got to think about the person that got voted off before me, who's going to get that person's vote? Because now the people aren't voting for the one that they had. So now you're constantly vying for new votes. And, you know, that's the unique thing about the show, too, is that you have to think about, okay, can I capture some of these other voters who just lost their favorite?
Oh, I never thought of that. But, you know, thinking about, you know, they're now in season 14 or whatever, but you and Clay and Ruben might have been the best top three in the history of the show in terms of talent and how your careers emerged.
You know, season two was packed with talent. I remember us all sitting around one day at the house. We had some downtime, and we were talking about how much talent was in our season. And we just thought, it just doesn't seem fair, right? You know? And now that we, you know, we have had so many seasons, you do look back and you... In these most recent seasons, there's always a standout from day one. And I believe that in our season, really, it could have been almost anybody's show to win. you know, because everybody was so, there was so much talent. It was crazy, you know, how all of us got stuck in that one season, you know, and it was very, very competitive.
A couple of years ago, a fellow by the name of Lee DeWise won. If you had been on that year, I mean, he would have finished like sixth.
You know, it's so funny. I heard that, if I heard somebody say that once, I heard them say it 10 times. I guess that's just the nature of the beast, so to speak. You know, I keep asking myself, are they going to run out of talent to harvest? Are there that many singers in this country, you know? And there are, you know, and every year some kid reaches the age where they're old enough to audition. So there's constantly a new influx of talent coming in.
Kimberly, thank you for a couple of minutes. Hearing your explanation and your remembrances really helps us to understand not only what these kids are going through as they compete, but also puts things in perspective when we talk about the top three from your season.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it.
And with our American Idol finalist, Kimberly Locke, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.